Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. Happy Tuesday. This is Andy Munoz on the KSL Sports Network. Today we are introducing you to the new assistant coaches at Real Salt Lake. And I want to be clear that this is media presser audio that we sent Isaac Munoz to the stadium to collect. And man, did he deliver with the help of Trey Fitzgerald. So shout out Trey. Today we're going to hear from the new assistant coaches, like I mentioned before, Anthony Pulis, Nate Miller, and Hamison Olave. You'll also hear from Pablo Mastroini. And finally, the last interview is going to be Mirza Hirimbasic. He is the new goalkeeper coach. So guys, this is a really good episode, a lot of good insight. You'll want to stick around till the end. And remember, you can follow us on YouTube. The video version of this podcast exists there. All right, let's get started. Up first, we've got Anthony Pulis, assistant coach.
Yeah, I think we should kind of have the same mentality to once again make the playoffs and try to make a run into the playoffs while also staying competitive in the various tournaments throughout the year.
Is continuity a good thing in this league?
Absolutely. When you have continuity, it helps bring experience along the way, and experience gives you a lot of help in this league.
How did you find juggling multiple competitions last year with deep Open Cup run, relatively deep Leagues Cup run? How did you repeat and then maybe improve on those successes this year?
Yeah, I think we used kind of the same strategy we did last year, a little bit of squad rotation, getting guys experience early in the season. It certainly helped us make those runs into the different tournaments and then later into the season.
What are the pros and cons of having kind of those mixed groups with veteran guys and young guys kind of in knockout competition?
Yeah, I'd say the cons are, you know, you get inexperience, you kind of leave yourself up to, you know, not having guys who are as sure of themselves. And then obviously the positive, giving guys experience for later in the season when we might need them because of injuries or suspensions or what have you.
I know you've been around a little bit. There's probably not a lot in this league you haven't seen, but when a young guy like, let's say, Emeka last year, and I know we got a few young guys that hopefully will follow in his footsteps this year, when they succeed at this level, is it a surprise? Is it a shock?
Yeah, I think it's surprising for everyone. You know, maybe not for the player themselves, but, you know, speaking to Emeka and a lot of young guys, you know, getting the opportunity is kind of a surprise, but when they take it and they run with it like he did, it's a pleasant surprise for people because it's like, okay, this kid has it and can deal with it, and now we're into his second year and guys are getting older, and it's like, okay, this is the expectation now.
You've been asked to kind of help bring Gavin Beavers along. I think he played 9 games last year, some good, some bad, right? Typically what you would expect. What has kind of mentoring him maybe helped you focus on for your own game?
Yeah, I think just opening a relationship between the goalkeeper group, having those conversations with Gavin at away games, games that he plays, games that I played, just opens a dialogue between the two of us that we can bounce ideas and thoughts off. And having a relationship like that is just beneficial because we can use each other to continue to improve.
I think we were all a little shocked maybe at some of the changes in the coaching staff ranks. Obviously, Mirza has been a part of the club for a long time, and we all love him dearly. How well do you know Mirza, and how excited are you to work with him this year?
Yeah, I've gotten to know him quite a bit over the last couple of years and worked with him only a handful of times, but just this last week working with him has been great. I think he brings a freshness and always trying to improve, so listening to his ideas, his methodologies, and again bouncing ideas around the goalkeeper group on what we can do to help the team win.
Last question for me, what do you expect to see, or have there been any changes, evolution? You know, Pablo's a big culture guy, but now he's got new guys around him. Jason Kreis is now back with the club, so he's going to be a new flavor, I think, for everybody. But just what do these changes potentially mean as we try to keep moving forward and capture hardware?
Yeah, I think the changes in the offseason are for the betterment of the club, for the team. Clearly, they want to improve in some areas, and hopefully these areas are improved upon while building on what we have over the last few years with Pablo. And if we can get everyone to gel together, then it hopefully will bring a better product to the team.
And then I guess one last question. What are your personal goals? Do you do that kind of stuff every year? You try to put number targets out there for yourself?
I do, but I haven't done them yet.
Okay. We'll check back in with you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I should think about that now. I think about it.
Don't know if you want to make it public anyway. So.
Yeah, well, it's true.
All right, you okay?
I'm good.
Is Isaac back here from KSL TV?
How are you? Good.
You want to lead us off? Yeah, for sure. I know you haven't been here for too long, but how the first few weeks been? What are kind of your first impressions of being here in Utah?
Yeah, first impressions are great. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind, obviously coming in from Florida. First big difference is obviously the weather. So dealing with that has been interesting, but obviously new staff. But Pablo's been excellent at kind of giving everybody clarity on roles and responsibilities. And I think we've spent a lot of time together as a staff, which I think is really important at this stage, especially because there's so many new people on board. And everyone's just getting on the same page, really, with how we want to work, the day-to-day sort of workflow, how it's going to go, and kind of making sure that, I guess, as I said, everybody's on the same page with how we want to sort of prepare for training, how we want to deliver the sessions, how we're going to sort of review, reflect on the sessions. And then the cultural piece is big as well, so making sure that everybody's, again, on the same page with the values that we want to live by. And I think that's really important that the players see that as well, because I think, again, it's something that Pablo's been very strong on, as well as Kurt and Jason as well. So it's important that they see us living out those values, because at the end of the day, if we're going to hold them accountable to them, then we need to hold ourselves accountable to them at the same time.
Can you share maybe a little more about those values specifically, what you guys are really trying to impress upon these players?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. I think the first big one's being respectful. So respecting your teammates, if you're a player, respecting your staff, the way that you speak to people, timekeeping's a big one, so being punctual. And again, just I think respecting the fact that you're in a privileged position to be getting paid to play professional soccer, and we're in privileged positions as coaches to do this as well. Collaboration's been a big one. I think everybody working together is really important. I think when you're part of a staff, part of any team, nobody's bigger than anyone else. And I think if we're going to be successful this year and in the years to come, we need to make sure that everybody's kind of working together, and there's no egos, that we're comfortable challenging each other. But at the same time, once a decision's made, that kind of we're all united as one.
We've heard a lot about the team lunches. You guys eat lunch together every day. What kind of maybe inspired that, and what have those served to help with the team so far, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's nothing that's crazy different that probably a lot of teams do around the world. But I think it's been really important, especially at the beginning, I think, just for people to spend time together. And I think those conversations that you have over lunch are really important, especially for people like myself who are new to the club, just to kind of get to know the players a little bit more on a personal level. So I think that's really important from a coaching standpoint, is that you're able to connect with them and you're able to kind of get an idea of their personality, what makes them tick, a little bit on their sort of background, their upbringing, family. Because again, I think from a coaching standpoint, X's and O's are obviously very important, but if you can't connect with players on a personal level and they don't feel like you actually care about them as a person, then the X's and O's don't really matter. So from my standpoint as a coach, it's been really beneficial just to get to know not only players, but staff members as well. And it takes time, but it's been it was a positive first week. And I think that little piece has been really good for the team spirit. And again, just another little layer to add on, not only the togetherness and the collaboration, but then also from a professional standpoint, it's important that the players refuel and get the right food on board after strenuous training sessions in the morning. So yeah, I think that's been a real positive.
What was it about this club, this opportunity, that was exciting to you?
Yeah, a number of things. I think, again, looking from the outside, it's always been a club that's impressed me. I think I mentioned before to you, Trey, I came here 2018 with St. Louis in USL Championship, coached against the Monarchs, and that was the first time I'd been to the facility, and kind of blew me away. I'm like, wow, like this is a really impressive facility. This is a club that's serious about what they do. And then obviously the players that have come through Salt Lake. I mean, obviously I'm aware of the history of winning a championship when Jason Christ was coach a while ago. Everybody I spoke to has been really positive about the area. So for me, it was important that I'm going to be moving my family to to a nice area where they're gonna enjoy life. And then obviously Pablo Mastroni, who's somebody that I've got a lot of respect for, is a coach that is very well respected around the United States within the league. And I think when we went through the interview process, he was very open and honest and transparent that he's going to give us as coaches a lot of responsibility to deliver, which again, for an assistant coach is great. I mean, I'm a coach. I love working with players. I love delivering sessions, video analysis, and knowing that the coach is going to give you the responsibility to do that is really powerful. Obviously, I knew Jason Kreis and Kurt Schmidt from Inter Miami, so there was already a little bit of a connection there. Yeah, and it just felt like there was a little bit of, even though there's been not so much turnover right now on the playing roster, it felt like it was almost like this sort of clean slate, fresh start, at least from a staffing standpoint. Yeah, and I guess they sold it to me. They said a lot of really positive things. And again, it's an opportunity for me to continue to grow and develop as a coach in what I feel like is a really strong environment. Again, a club that values developing players, but then at the same time, they want to develop all the staff members as well. So being in an environment where I'm going to be allowed to grow and continue to develop and improve my skills as a coach was something that was big for me. And obviously, that at the end of the day, we want to win. And like that's important. I think it's important to make clear is, yes, we want to develop the players and improve them all, but we want to win. And I think the two can go hand in hand. And it's important that the players are aware of that. The reason why we're trying to improve them, because naturally that improves the team and obviously gives everyone a good opportunity of going into games and trying to get 3 points every week.
Who are the major influences on you as you were growing up that really shaped who you are as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, my dad obviously was a successful coach in the UK for a long time, so spent a lot of time with him as a kid, obviously. When I was younger, I would always go and spend school holidays with him. So I would spend time like in and around locker rooms and sometimes joining in training even when I was younger. And back in those days, I'd be able to sit on the bench with him during games and, yeah, be in the car with him, traveling to watch other teams in England and listen to him where he's speaking to kind of owners and players. So I've always been immersed in football. Like, that's been my life. So as a kid, I wanted to be – my dream was to be a professional player. I lived that dream. And then I knew from an early age – even playing, I wanted to coach. And that was part of the reason why I came to the States, because I obviously came to a new club in Orlando to finish my playing career. But I always had that one eye on starting my coaching career and took my sort of coaching licenses early and got my feet wet coaching in the academy there while I was still playing and trying to prepare myself so that when opportunities came, I was ready for it. So, yeah, I mean, my dad obviously is the biggest one. And there's a number of coaches worldwide that, like right now, I think in the modern day game, you look at the likes of Guardiola, Klopp, Mourinho, and now in the Premier League, Roberto De Zerbi, Unai Emery, like those guys that are doing great jobs at Brighton, Aston Villa. So Greg Berhalter with the national team. So there's loads of coaches I look up to, and I somebody that continually wants to get better. So you're always looking at different coaches and leaders and how can you evolve and adapt and continue to get better.
Hablaste antes de respeto y comunicación, que eran dos aspectos importantes para trabajar con el grupo. ¿Te preocupa que haya una parte, digamos, de la plantilla que habla español pero no inglés y una parte que habla inglés pero no español? ¿Te preocupa eso para eso del respeto y la comunicación?
You spoke upon respect and communication. Does it worry you at all in terms of the roster that half of them only speak Spanish, half of them only speak English when it comes to that communication process?
No, because Pablo can speak Spanish. We've got Hamerson Olave on the staff that can speak Spanish. So I think having that balance is really important. And I think, again, when there needs to be, for example, if I'm working, when we're on the defending part of the game and I need to get a message across to Brian Vera, I've got Olave helping me. So it's for me that piece is really important. Obviously, I'd spent some time at Inter Miami, so I can understand Spanish fairly well. Being able to actually speak that and communicate freely and with detail is another thing, because I think that's really important, is when you're speaking to players, especially from a football standpoint, you have to make sure you're spot on with your words, because again, if there's any sort of misinterpretation, it can get maybe a little bit messy. So I think having Olave on the staff is massively important. Obviously, he's a legend here, somebody that I've obviously come to know the last week, and he's a fantastic human being. And already, even this morning, we had a meeting with the defenders and we were going through some things, and he's there able to translate and make sure the messages are getting communicated clearly. And obviously Pablo can do it as well. So yeah, I don't see that being an issue at all. No.
La segunda pregunta, tienes mucha experiencia del fútbol europeo. ¿Qué se necesita para que la MLS tenga ese, crezca al nivel de competencia del fútbol europeo, de las ligas europeas?
You have a lot of experience in European soccer. What do you think this league needs in order for it to grow and elevate the way that it is in Europe?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the league has grown incredibly since I moved out to the States in 2012. And I think where this country is now from a soccer standpoint, regarding the quality of players, the quality of coaches, the quality of facilities, it's incredible. I never thought for one moment it would be where it is now. Again, how is it going to get better? Better players. These are things that, again, I don't think I need to get into too much detail on, but are MLS going to maybe change some rules and allow the clubs that want to spend a little bit more money to make sure that maybe the players that are coming over to play in the States are a little bit younger? Again, historically, it's always been, that, especially from a European player standpoint, like they're coming over towards the end of their careers. There's been some very successful ones, and maybe there's been some that haven't been as successful. So, again, how can we as a league make sure that we're getting top European talent, but younger? And again, that purely comes down to finances, right? But again, I don't think that should take away from where the league is. I think it's a fantastic product. I get calls all the time from people in England asking about players, and everybody's incredibly complimentary about the level of football now. And I think that's going to continue to get better as we, again, are able to recruit better players. Coaches then naturally have to get better as well to stay up to date with modern trends and how the modern game is looking on a weekly basis in Europe, because it is, again, it's football's always gonna evolve, and you have to kind of stay up with the times.
¿Cuál es tu rol exacto dentro del grupo de asistentes de Pablo Mastroianni? ¿De qué te vas a ocupar especialmente? ¿O Pablo te pidió algo específico para que te ocuparas?
What will be your primary role within the assistant coaches? What has Pablo instilled in you?
So Pablo has asked me to lead on all of the out of possession work. So all of our work defending, so our pressing, our defending in our block, our defending around the box, and then how we transition out of our defensive shape into attack, and then leading on set pieces as well. So offensive and defensive set pieces. So he's been really clear. Obviously Nate Miller will do the attacking part of the game. I'll take the defending part of the game with the set pieces. And that, I think that's great, because it gives real clarity to everybody on who's responsible for what. But at the end of the day, and I think this is really important to make clear, and we've had these discussions as a staff, but it all has to blend together. It's not like it's not like NFL, where you can defend and then you go off and then you kind of have a rest. Football's such a fluid game because of the transition moments. So even though that's kind of our focus, it's important that they all blend and the structures kind of link together, so that there's this sort of continuous flow from defending, transition into attack. What does our attacking shape look like? When we lose the ball, what's our transition to defend to make sure that we're aggressive? And then that kind of flows. So it's important, as I said, that we're all on the same page, that there is this sort of smooth flow, because football at times is chaos. It's not as structured as maybe what certain people think at times. And that's, again, down to us as coaches to find that right balance.
Three or four defenders?
Oh, I can't comment on that right now. I'm sorry. Too early for me to be giving things away.
are there things that, and I know everything, you know, every opponent demands different things and rosters change over time and you got to adapt your players. But are there bedrock things you think about the sport that you really believe that you bring to the club?
Yeah, I think I would like to think, again, I'm somebody with sort of like old school values, but modern methods, if that makes sense. I think irrespective of whatever shape, formation, tactics you go into a game, then the expectation is for every player to kind of empty their tank and give everything and understand that they're part of a team. Again, something that we've been talking a lot about is this connection as a team with and without the ball. So when we're defending, everyone on field, those 10 outfield players, should be moving together collectively with the ball to make sure that we're connected, we're compact, to give ourselves good opportunities to win it. And the same when we're attacking. Like, we've got to make sure that we're connected, that we're a team, that we move together so that player on the ball has options. Really basic things. Team first is a big one for me. Again, we've got some really talented individual players, but I think it's been made clear that they have to understand that they have to buy into the team ethic first and foremost. And that is going to be the most important thing for us if we're going to be successful, is how can we make sure that the collective is greater than the sum of the parts. So again, really good work ethic, understanding that we're part of a team, there's a real good strong spirit, togetherness. Nobody ever gives in, because again, those things can take you a long way in this league, because it's a long year.
And now up next, we've got Nate Miller, assistant coach.
What do you think the number one thing is you bring to the club? What do you know you can really contribute and make a difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that when the discussions of bringing me here was to help the club and Pablo and just the whole staff together bring an attacking identity, a clear attacking identity. I know that's what my role is. And so using the players we have here, the strengths of the players we have in here, and the vision of what we want to do. So just through a daily process of training and the game model we want to bring in, help establish a very clear attacking identity for RSL. And so I think it's really important in this business, in this game, is to be entertaining, is to play attacking football and to do it in a way that people, when they come to the stadium, they know what to look forward to and they get excited about that and that they're seeing something different. I think every club, every team wants to be an attacking team. So I think that's one of my big roles here.
Did you watch a lot of tape of last year's team to see guys' skill sets and how you might be able to use them?
Yeah, when it became clear over the offseason that I was coming here, I watched every single game. And so I watched all the games, and so I understand the player pool, who we have. Obviously, not all the players are returning. And understanding just what the main habits of the players were and what the team, how they functioned last year. So I had a clear understanding of what they're used to and what we need to put in place in a short preseason.
What do you see that you'd like to hold on to without giving away the farm?
Yeah, yeah.
And all the trade secrets, but what do you see that you'd like to really hold on to, embrace, and what would you like to tweak and add or alter?
Well, I think the biggest thing before you start talking tactics and identity of a team on the field is just like how, mentally how they are. And they're an extremely intense team, and that comes from Pablo and the identity he establishes. And so what's really important is the identity of the team in defensive transition. So their reactions, how they counter press with so much intensity is you know, I view what you do with the ball as completely connected to the defensive transition moment. So that was a really good thing to build upon. We want to do it a little bit differently with the team as a bit closer together rather than being as spread apart. But overall, just the mentality and how hungry the players are and how bought in they are to their leader, to Pablo, makes it a lot, I think, easier and smoother to implement new ideas.
Players yeah. That departed this offseason, do you think need reinforcements in the
yeah.
attack?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can understand, but not speak back. So, yeah, I know Kurt and the front office are working really hard at that. Obviously, we know we need to bring in top attacking players. We're missing some right now on international duty. But for sure, you can add up the goals that we lost in the team. And that's not my job, but it's something that, you know, as a staff we're talking about is exactly what profile of players we need. It does not need to be the exact same profile. But I mean, the club is working very hard to bring in players that can make a big impact, because MLS has gotten so much better and there's top players in the league now. We have a top striker in Chicho and Diego Luna is a very good young player. We have a lot of quality, but for sure to be a top team, I know they're always working hard to bring in top quality number 10 and a winger.
Anything else?
Se va a usar un 10, sí. Va a ser una parte clave en el ataque del equipo.
Sí.
Will it can be a key part of
the
roster? Sí, sí. I mean, we want to play with more than one 10. Ideally, we want to have more players between the lines and with how our build-out structure. Obviously, we're working on a lot of things right now not to talk about, but you want to play with more players behind the opposition midfield. So more than one 10 is important. And I think we have a couple of those players right now on this roster. But, you know, to last a whole 34 matches, Leagues Cup, you need depth and quality, and especially substitutions are so important. So, yeah, we hope to bring in, again, not my responsibility, but I know they're working hard to bring in a number 10.
What have you seen from Fidel Barajas so far? I know you mentioned there's other players that aren't here yet that will be coming in, but what could he bring maybe even when the roster is complete?
Yeah, look, I know Fidel from the USL, so I've coached against him. Very young player, but does not play like he's 17. The most important thing with Fidel is he's a fighter. He fights, so he fits Pablo's personality and how he is. You can't come in as a number 10 to RSL and be a casual guy and just float around, it's not going to work. And so I think, you know, he's still very, very young, but he trains well. First week of preseason was really good. And so I think he's flexible. He can play on a wing and come inside and play as a number 10. But look at development, people, you know, you see, as soon as you sign a player to MLS, you expect this, but it takes time. And what I would expect from him is extreme work rate throughout the whole year, and then when he gets his moments, to make an impact. But I don't think we want to expect, you know, even took Diego Luna a while to build into his form here. That took some time. And so there's going to be hard times and good times, and that's football, and we'll just keep pushing him so he can achieve that.
And then you mentioned at the beginning the idea of having a clear attacking identity. You mentioned being entertaining, but as far as like what's kind of like the elevator pitch, I guess, of like what that identity is?
Yeah, look, I think there's so much. It's very hard to describe that in 30 seconds or whatever. But I think the most important thing to be a really good attacking team is to have clear structure with how you build out so that you can control the game from the back and into midfield without the team being so spread apart. So the first week, we're just working a lot on the most important thing is arriving in the final third with structure so that your special players are in better positions, closer together in better areas. So a lot of, you know, our job, my job is to get them there with good structure more often. So if we can get them into these spots over and over and over again, that helps you. So really a lot of the attacking is more what we're doing in the back and how we create that structure. So just being more positional than the team has been in the past, I think, and with more players inside between the lines, and not just attack through the wing. So those are there's obviously a lot to go into that, but we're working really hard on those things, and that takes time. But the players are have done, even in just 1 week, a lot of good work.
I think the fans have really seen the progress you were talking about with Diego Luna and seen it trend up, and obviously he just got his first cap in San Antonio, but everybody expects so much more out of him. What can you do working with him to help him make that progress? Where are his challenges? Where can you help? What's he got to do?
Well, to be fair, it's a good question. I just met Diego for the first time today. I've coached against him before in the past, but don't know him as a person yet. So before, look, I've watched a lot of film on Diego. The coaching staff knows, well, Pablo knows Diego well. I need to know Diego as a person first. For me, it goes person over player. So I'm not just going to start coaching Diego and dumping information on him if I don't know him as a person. So, you know, you have to be patient as a coach to understand the player, where he's coming from, and not just pile information. That's not what coaching is. That's not how I view coaching. So it's just going to be a process of understanding Diego, and then within a new, a new context of attacking, see how he is. And then just the biggest thing is just to give him tons of confidence because he has the ability. So with how we run training every day, making him enjoy football and enjoy it, first of all. So he's playing with a smile on his face. And then it's like just a mountain of details that you get to. But for me, I've learned a lot with being patient with attacking players and getting an understanding of really what they're like and not assuming I know what they're like right away.
And if I ask you about Andres Gomez, are you thinking to repeat the...
Well, the totally different profile of a player. So it's just a player that has just total pace. And yeah, he's a very interesting player. And again, I don't know him at all as a person. And so for me, it's a very... Players like Andres, it's very important that you just give them clear role. This is what you're doing. And players like that can really help the whole team structure because just the fear of the pace, what that does to the opponent. So, yeah, it's a similar like process with a player like that, but because they're going to be totally different people, it's just different. So I think both of those guys are early in their careers, and I think the biggest thing is just call it filling the windshield, like showing them what's possible in their career, but they're the one driving the car. Like, they have to do it. I can't care about their development more than they care about it. So, I haven't met Andres, and hopefully we'll see him in Portugal.
Nate, what was it about this club, this opportunity, this head coach that was right for you? And I guess also what maybe preconceived notions did you have of this club that may have helped make that decision easy? Or what maybe is different in your first couple weeks here?
Yeah, it was an interesting offseason. A long off season of decision making. If I were to just boil it down to one thing, it was just Pablo. Just for me, it's so important, the person I work for. Like, my daily life every day is shaped really by one person's personality and how that is. And so I have to You know, I've been a head coach, and so for me to be an assistant, it's about, I have to believe in the person, and I believe in Pablo, and how he treats players is world class, like the energy he brings every day. So it's more like I decided to come in here because I really love working with young players. I really love creating, helping establish an identity, like a playing identity that reflects a city, that reflects a club. Those are exciting projects, and then working for a top person. And so I think that whole project is exciting to me. It's a lot of work, but that's the whole point.
Did you know him at all, or just through Landon?
Yeah, through Landon, some other people, and we just got to know each other. But, you know, he's a very relational person. So, you know, when you start talking about the real stuff real fast, and that's how I live. That's how I love to be. And so, you know, when you're in a people business, you know quickly. There's a lot of massive egos in football, and he doesn't have one, and that's rare.
Right.
Yeah.
What really shaped you? Who or what really shaped you as a coach? When you look back, you think, "Wow, that really helped put me where I am."
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't have like any like big like coaching influences on my life, actually. So I grew up playing street football, you know, in a different country. And so for me, it was more like the lack of any instruction or the lack of that. And I remember just finishing up my playing career in college and being like, there has to be more than this. So it was really like, I view it as a blessing, because I didn't have like this subjective, like, this is how I thought football should be. It was kind of starting from a blank slate of maybe not frustration, but just being open and how I saw the game, and I couldn't verbalize it yet as a player. And so just, I'm a learner, and and I started coaching at a very, very young age. And so just, there's so many influences. Obviously the coaching world I grew up in is the digital world, and you have access, and every off season I take trips around the world and visit different coaches and clubs. So I wouldn't say there's one big influence. For me, you know, I became a head coach at 26, like way too young. And so it's really trial and error and trying things and not copying someone else's ideas. But I think there's so many people that have influenced me, like with relating to players. Landon has influenced me a lot, how to treat top players. Like, he influenced me a lot with just the management of a team and things like that.
Where have you gone on your trips?
Like this past offseason, I was in Germany with Dortmund, and then went to Bruges. And then that's right then when I was finalizing all this, so I flew back. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, guys. Sure. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Up next is Pablo Mascherini, head coach. I don't need to tell you that. You can recognize his voice. Also, take the time to follow us at RSL Show on IG and Twitter, and follow us on YouTube as well.
Josh?
No reason to overcome it.
Yeah.
1 week down of preseason. How are you feeling? How are things coming together for you guys?
Yeah, good. I think there's obviously a lot of change around the club, and just working with everyone has been really good this first week, and making sure that we are organized, and I feel like we've achieved that. I think you know, working on some different schemes on both sides of the ball has been really good, and really taking a lot of time with the players to make sure that the understanding is clear. And really starting to see some good pictures when we play the 11-a-side. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the guys that we'll be counting on the front end of the field. But if nothing else, the guys that are in their spots at the moment are doing a good job, and the guys in the back are getting real reps. And so, again, for me, the attack always starts with the guys in the back. And so their level of comfort with the ball in tighter spaces is really important. I think we've been able to achieve that to this point.
Yeah, speaking of kind of that structure, we just got to talk to the two new assistants. Very, very impressive guys. Seems like they just have a very clear idea of what they want to bring to the team, what they are bringing to the team. What's it been like so far with these two guys? And I guess from the process of getting to know them and interviewing to now actually working with them, what's that been like?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when we were looking at potential coaches, we definitely wanted to bring guys that that had their own ideas, and both of these guys have been assistant head coaches and assistant coaches, and so for me, there's a level of comfort knowing all the responsibility that comes with being a head coach, and so there, you know, once we got going, it wasn't like asking questions like this. It was just take it and run. And for me, in particular, in the first few weeks, it's really important to build trust with the players and the coaches, and so giving them a real platform to really work from. They have some fantastic ideas, and we've been incorporating quite a bit, you know, and I think the players initially were a bit hesitant to change. But again, if we're going to change, we're all going to change. And I think it's going to be, in the long run, it's going to be for the better. And so having guys that you trust without really knowing them, and continue to build that relationship will be really important. But, you know, I couldn't be more pleased with the whole staff.
For you individually, did you have to maybe things you coach one way, you have to let someone else coach another? Did you have to give some stuff up, but not give everything up and hold on to a lot of things you believe about the way the game should be played?
Yeah, and I think, DJ, that was kind of done in the interview process. You know, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to be a seismic shift. In other words, we weren't going to be a team that was going to go from trying to get pressure on the ball higher up the field to being a low block, mid block team, you know. And so when they gave their presentations, we're very aligned in the way we see the game. I think the difference is in the details and really the methodology and the way you want to coach that. You know, it's a really interesting, you know, different ideas and different ways of coaching it. And so I think it's been a great process. And the great thing is after each session, we do a bit of a debrief, and really important for them to kind of see where I'm coming from and what's really important to me. But giving them the freedom to then take that information and deliver it as they see fit. And so, again, going from where we were last year, you know, I've been really observing from the outside for the most part and engaging more in the recaps and mentality of the group and what we want to achieve and why we're doing it, but really giving the coaches a platform to work from and give that psychological safety, which is not being on top of them and micromanaging. It's really letting them express themselves to bring out the best in the coaches, which hopefully will bring out the best in the players.
I know a lot of fans would like to know about the formation and all that, and it sounds like, just from talking to you early and talking to the assistants, that in the attack phase, it will still be very similar to what you've done, but maybe a little more nuanced and detailed, as opposed to win the ball and go, 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 and get there before them, you know, in numbers. It sounds, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like it would be a little different.
Yeah, I think one of our great strengths the last few years has been in the attack, has been our wing progressions and getting the ball and breaking teams down the wide areas. The focus will be more on central penetration with the width available, right? And so adding that little bit brings a lot more players into the game and in dangerous areas, right? And so we'll attack out of one shape and we'll defend out of another shape. And, you know, and in the attack, we're asking different things from different players, and particularly the outside backs, where one's more stay at home and the other one's more acts as a wing back, and we're working on the flexibility of doing that on both sides of the ball with the different personnel that we have, right? And then having overload centrally, so four players should always be central to have those combinations that we're looking for. So
that sounds a little like total football. Do you have guys tied?
I tell you what, it's but it's been great. It's really interesting because, again, I think you know, you hear a certain way for a few years, and again, I think we've done a good job the last few years, but now it's really about how do we make some polish, how do we put some polish on this thing, and so to do that, it's not just continue to do what we've done, it's really making a shift and bringing out the best qualities of the players that we currently have, and so I think when you do that and you're coaching it, and you're seeing some fruits of labor, obviously we're a long ways away from being the team that we want to be. But if the first week is any indication, is that we're really making some really great strides in a completely different setup.
The club hasn't, obviously, over the last, before you got here, the last 5 to 7, 10 years, hasn't always been aligned.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. No, I do feel that we're more aligned than we've ever been. And obviously some of that comes from so much change that's taken place, and you feel like it has to bring the group together, right? Because of what's going on around you. You know, I think, you know, Jason coming into the group has brought a different element. His experiences as a former coach and his relationship with Kurt have been really good to work with. And ownership is really excited about all the changes that we're making. And so, you know, it's one thing to make change in certain positions, but we're making a huge change, and it's almost a rebrand in a lot of ways, and really focusing on having an identity beyond our mentality, because I think our mentality the last few years has been fantastic, and it saw us through a lot of important moments. But when you have that type of mentality and you have the quality that we have within our group, is how do we express it in a way that makes it fun for the players, makes it fun for the fans, and more importantly, gets us winning games. And I think that's the real aim of our group, is, you know, developing young players and winning through that development.
In the offseason, did you spend time thinking through how you can get the best out of Andres Gomez, how you can get what you see on Tuesday or Thursday and see it on a Saturday?
Yeah, and a lot of that, DJ, is just reps in real time. It's just getting games. Because what he does, you know, Monday through Friday is really impressive stuff. And I keep saying to myself, if there's a scout coming to our training sessions, he'd be playing in Europe somewhere. And so I think translating who you are in game in practice to game days where bullets are flying, there's chips on the table, there's a lot of people watching, I think comes from a level of comfort having been there and done that. And so I think the expectations from all of us at the club is that Andres is going to have a great year, given that he kind of he acclimated, wasn't always easy on or off the field. But now towards the end of the season, he really started showing some stuff. Played with the Colombian national team. Now he's currently with the 23s. And so all these things, all these little things add up to a player that's going to come back in really good form.
Historically, RSL goes to Arizona or Southern California or both in preseason. You're going to Portugal, which obviously is more expensive and more complicated, and it's travel and it's time zones and wear and tear on people's bodies. How much of that will you make up with players who grow up watching European soccer thinking that's the best? Many of them want to play there. How much does that bring in extra added urgency and focus? Because they're playing European teams, being seen by European coaches and probably scouts, I assume, and they probably assume too. How much do you make up there with all the other stuff you're obviously losing, giving up?
Yeah, no, I don't really look at it that way, although I think there's pros and cons to all of it. I think, you know, the travel is real, and when you're going across time zones and then coming back and going to Santa Barbara, there could be an effect for the first game in particular, because you're going across time zones in such a little time, so the body doesn't know, you know, there's no, you know, your homeostasis is thrown off. So I think, if that's even the way you say that,
Circadian rhythm.
There you go. There you go. I couldn't think of the word. I think from it's go time, and you're playing those games. There's, because it's oftentimes a preseason as a coach, you're often saying, guys, this game's really important. It's gonna be huge to start the season. When you go to Europe and you fly across the pond and you're playing against those teams, it's less that we have to say as a staff, right? Because every game is meaningful for what you exactly pointed out. There's going to be coaches. A lot of these guys have dreams of playing in Europe, and so that's already built into this trip. And so I think there's a lot of positive things that come from these trips, and it's really the onus is on the individual player to really take it as such, because there's no better shopping window than actually being over there playing.
Pablo, one of the things you said at the end of last year that really stuck with me is, you know, we get to the Open Cup semi, we have the playoff series with Houston, you go to round of 16 in League's Cup, but we're back to zero. And so with all the change that has happened on your staff, and presumably we'll get some new bodies in the locker room as well, does that make it easier to kind of emphasize that reset button and tell people that we're not starting where we left off? Like, you got to build this foundation all over.
No, that's a great point, Trey. I think, you know, every year is a rebuild. And, you know, I think if anything, you know, speaking to the coaches and some players on opposing teams after those games, it's like, man, you guys were a really tough team to play. And now we have a new group of guys coming into group. We have new coaches, new ideas. And so we still want to be that tough team to play. But Now we want to be a tough team to play that really dominates the game on both sides of the ball. And so that's been what we've talked about, the team that we want to be, the team that opponents face week in and week out starts with the way we train. And I think maybe not having all the guys in camp has also been a good thing, because it really pushes guys into a position where it's like, well, I don't see anyone here. This is my spot. And so it's been a really competitive camp for the first week. So I think, you know, all those things culminate into a group that's really hungry to achieve things. And guys like Glad that have been here for a long time and have, you know, been really, really close, you know, he's chomping at the bit to get going again.
What have you heard from how Luna did with the U.S. and how the Colombians did with their Olympic camp?
Yeah. So, you know, the feedback from Luna is that, you know, he had a really good camp, showed well. He was playing in a position that he was comfortable in. And I think for us, it's huge dividends because he's coming in extremely fit. We're aiming for the first game in Portugal to get the guys, you know, 45 minutes. And a player like Luna, we're probably going to have to, you know, pull the reins a little bit and make sure that we're not pushing him too hard so that he's ready to go for the first game of the season. But everything from camp was really positive, the way he interacted with his teammates, the way he trained, and obviously the way he played. He had some really good moments that, you know, if the finishing was a little bit better, he probably would have had a couple assists. And then as far as Andres and Nelson, you know, they suffered a tough loss in their first match. But again, everything that all the feedback that I've received from them when they've gone into camp has always been positive. It's a great motivating factor for them to continue to do well with RSL. And I think that's what the purpose of these trips are. It's an individual showcase where you're getting selected as an individual, but you're coming back to your club team in a way that you're bringing that confidence back to the group. And so that's why I've always been a huge proponent of anytime anyone gets called in, even if it's not in the FIFA window, it's really important that they go, because it's an opportunity for them to grow and see what the game feels like at that level, because it feels a lot different than weekend to weekend. This is a game that we must win. We got to do it, and the nerves are bigger, the crowds are bigger, and the moment's bigger. And so those opportunities for all these young guys and older players that get called in the national teams are really important.
Hopefully they bring them back with them, yeah?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they will.
How many of the starting spots are realistically locked down, and how many of the starting spots are really up for grabs?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think it's always easy to project into the first game, because you have an idea of how you want to build the roster and the players that are coming back and how you want to utilize them. You know, but I'd say after game three, you know, there's probably eight positions kind of locked in that we have kind of figured that this player is going to come in at a certain level and play extremely well. But there's always these one-off cases where there's new guys coming in that you don't even know yet, you know, and so as a coach, you have to remain objective whilst, you know, front office is really focused in on this player fitting into that slot. For us coaches, it's really critical to have an open mind and to see which players are playing really well at the time and their relationship with the player in front of them or behind them. But yeah, I'd say the majority of the group we've penciled in, but there's an eraser at the end of it as well, right?
Good.
Carlos,
we're good.
Mañana.
Okay, yeah.
Mañana. Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Up next, we've got Olave Says No, Hamison Olave, Real Salt Lake legend, now assistant coach.
What is the biggest transition for you leaving the Monarchs and coming to coach with RSL? You're coaching older, more mature players. How does it impact how you coach?
I think, like you said already, just go there and just coach older player now. I think the tactic side is going to be more challenging for me. There's something that going to be better. When you play in MLS, now the tactics become important for the team. When you play in Monarchs, at times, because the guys are too young and more about developing, at times is how can we keep the game close, how can we help the players to do better movements. But in MLS, it's all of it, tactics and well preparation before the game.
How many of the guys do you know really well, and how many of the guys do you have to get to know? I don't know how much you interacted. You know, you were kind of at the same facility, but it's separate teams. So how well do you know these guys?
Yes, I know most of them. The only guys that I have to get used to, I would say the Barajas, the new guys that come this year. Any guys that is coming this year is the only guys that I had to know very well. But guy from last year, our facility is too open. I had the opportunity to interact with everybody in the gym, in my office, on the field. Some of those guys just came to play with us. I see those guys all the time. So it's an advantage that I have already, knowing those guys, interacting with them the whole time.
The two new assistants as well with you, not including Mirza, the ones that came from outside of Utah, they mentioned that you've been helpful with communication with a lot of the roster speaking only Spanish. Do you feel like that is, how's that process been so far, I guess, in helping to helping those coaches get acclimated with all of the new players?
Have been good. That's one of the roles that I have as the assistant. Just try to make to be sure the Latin guys, they understand everything that the coaches want from them. On the field, off the field, if they have any question, they should be afraid to come to ask me, and I can bring one of the assistant coaches to interact with them and have a clear understanding of what we're looking to put on the field.
And then obviously development is a big priority for this club, and there's a few players that you had to got the opportunity to coach with the Monarchs, like Gavin Beavers, Diego Luna a few times as well, that are now with the first team. What's that like to be able to see kind of the growth of those kinds of players to now make the first team?
For me, like I always say, I have been in here for a long time. See those guys going from Monarchs to a first team has made me happy, because that's why I was there, to help those guys to reach the high level. Now being in the same locker room with them, in the same field, watching them train, that made me really, really happy for those guys.
And that was Hamison Olave, the new assistant coach. If you feel like the interview was cut short, it was only because they switched over to Spanish and concluded in Spanish, and we're going to leave those out for now. Up next, we've got Mirza Hrimabasic, the new goalkeeper coach for RSL.
Exactly. I guess actually the comparison to soccer, because basketball and soccer do have a lot in regard, is that you never know where talent is going to come from, and you got to look at everybody. As a guy who's been working with younger guys and trying to develop them, how different is it to come to MLS and turn around and see Gavin there and think nothing's changed?
Yeah.
Is it a really different job, I guess?
Yeah. No, I think the mentality overall at the club, no matter who's there, there's a willingness to learn and to improve with Zach and Tomas. You know, them being in their 30s and thing doesn't change anything, right? They want to learn. They're always hungry to improve as well. And then obviously, you know, having Gavin there and our long history together, Fernando training with us, Will Mackey training with us, et cetera, all the young guys, it's a very close group, and we know how we work, so it allows training to flow smoothly and an open learning environment where everyone's learning from one another. So it's been a tremendous group to work with so far.
What do you think you and Hamison bring to the first team? Obviously, you got some guys coming from outside the club. Pablo's role is a little different. He just talked about that a little bit. And I know it's early days, right? So everybody's working it out. But, you know, Hamison's been around forever as a player, then as an assistant, interim head, and now assist on the first team. You've been around a few years as well. So how's that energy, and how's that – do you feel rewarded for your hard work with the club with this promotion?
Yeah, and you and I kind of spoke about it. I feel a tremendous amount of gratitude and appreciation to the club for all the opportunities that I've earned, the Academy, the Monarchs, Royals, and now the first team. So extremely blessed and happy with this next step in my career. What Hamison and I bring to the club, you can't put us in the same category. Alav is on a different stratosphere. You know, I hope that I can bring some continuity in the goalkeeping department between all the teams, and also now adding the Royals as well. bringing the staffs together and bringing all the goalkeepers together is what I hope to bring.
Are you going to be working with the Royals goalkeepers?
No. I just want to incorporate their goalkeeper coach as well and make sure that we're there to help in any way we can, and whether it's another coach on the field if they need, or if it's bouncing back and forth ideas and things like that. So
we were talking a little bit with Gavin earlier, and he obviously credited you for helping with a lot of his growth. What do you maybe expect from Gavin this year, and as a guy that's so young but has already had so much success, what's the ceiling for Gavin?
Gavin's ceiling is the highest levels of the game, and I say that because of obviously he has natural ability, but more so because of his mentality and the type of person he is. Very humble, comes to work every day, wants to improve, wants to get better. His expectations this year are to build off last year, right? To continue to grow, to continue to push, and continue to fight, and keep getting better, right? Obviously, 18 going on 19, you know, he's still very young, so you know, every day is an opportunity for him to continue to get better.
Is distribution the next thing for him to really take a big step forward?
Absolutely. I think Gavin's recruiting process was very interesting when he came into the academy, kind of just transitioning out of basketball and getting into soccer full time. So when he came on trial in the academy, his athleticism obviously was evident. How coachable he was, how hungry he was to improve was evident in the first session. Obviously, the small nuances in the game were missing, and a little bit of the distribution, but we knew over time that was going to come just because of all the other attributes that he had. So, you know, that's the next step, and it's something that he's worked tremendously hard on in the off season, and something that we're going to continue to stress as well.
Even inside that distribution piece, sometimes goalkeepers have to work on the choices they make and the reasons they make them. Sometimes it's the physical ability just to deliver the ball on a dime. Dunny used to joke about Nick Raimondo, like, hitting the Nike logo on his shoe because he wanted to hit the toe from 40 yards away. With Gavin, what piece of that might be more challenging? What piece might he be more accomplished with?
Yeah, he's a strong kid. He's a big kid, so his range of passing isn't an issue, right? You could put it box to box if need be. It's more that tactical understanding and that feeling. You know, this type of ball needs to be driven in, this type of ball needs to be clipped in onto someone's chest or into someone's head, and the different reasons for that.
Una de las cosas desde fuera que más sorprendió es que Nacho Hernández no siguiera, porque es un personaje querido en el club, con mucha personalidad. Desde tu punto de vista, ¿cómo encaja el entrar a sustituirlo a él, y qué puedes aportar positivamente para el club en ese rol?
One of the most surprising things from the outside perspective was Nacho not returning to the club. Obviously, he's well known around the club and everyone really had respect for him. What do you think you're going to be able to bring to the table and as you're taking on this new role?
Yeah, I think what I'll be able to take on or change in the club is a little bit more modern approach to coaching and goalkeeper coaching, and also the integration with all the teams, making sure that there's more feedback between all the levels, incorporating the goalkeepers at all levels, and a better monitoring system and a better development system for all the goalkeepers and everyone. Making sure that the youngest goalkeepers are developing, and making sure that we continue to produce top goalkeepers, which we have.
Y una última pregunta: ¿te preocupa que si Zach Magnat sufriera alguna lesión, porque es una posición tan complicada la de portero, que se pierde uno, tienes que buscar una sustitución inmediata? ¿Está Bieber capacitado para hacer esa función? O sea, ¿está cubierto perfectamente esa posición de portero del equipo si Zach sufre una lesión importante?
With keeper being one of the most difficult positions, in the event that Zach went down with something, does that worry you at all? Do you feel like you're well, you have the pieces that you need in order to cover that in the event that happened?
Absolutely. absolutely. I have tremendous trust. Obviously, Zach last year, especially the second half of the year, was tremendous. Gavin stepping in, Tomas as well. I have full confidence in. And God forbid something happened even deeper into the depth chart. I have full trust in Fernando Delgado as well, another young goalkeeper coming up as well. So I'm very fortunate to work with a tremendous group, and hopefully the injuries are limited and not non-existent this year. But if they are, then I have full trust for all the guys.
Do you have a goal for Gavin to get? Obviously, he got 9 games last year across all comps. Open Cup was more or less his for at least the first part. Zach had the concussion and, you know, a few other games that he missed. Do you think, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of games, a lot of opportunities for Gavin to even increase on that 9 games that he played a year ago. I know it's early, but have you guys kind of mapped that out?
Obviously, it's... You know, when you're mapping out things like that and play time, it's always very difficult, right? Zach has done tremendously well last year. That, you know, for me to pigeonhole him in a spot and say, you know, getting this many games and this many games is difficult.
Sure.
So, you know, if everyone's healthy and continuing to play as well as they've been training, then I'm excited for the difficult decisions that, sure, that we'll have to make as a staff. Obviously, we want to build on the 9 games, and like you said, with the schedule the way it is, I think we can.
And that concludes today's episode of the RSL Show. We'll be back with full commentary. We will be sending Isaac to go get full audio, full video of every single training and every single media presser over the next few days before these guys leave for their preseason. So, in the meantime, stick around, because we're going to have so much content over the next few days. You won't get this anywhere else. Keep it here, RSL Show, KSLSports.com. We'll see you guys later.